Well, good morning and welcome to Open Door Bible Church. If you walked in today and were not aware that this was our missions conference, you probably began to pick up a little bit of clues as you came through and you saw some of the tables set up with pictures of people far away. And indeed, that's what we're doing this weekend, is just focusing on our purpose worldwide. Oh, yes, by the way, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds for kindergartens, you can be making your way to Children's Church at this point. There you go. You remember even when I don't, which is a lot. But it is exciting to have a conference in which all of our missionaries, except for our main speaker, are actually part of our own church family, people whose life God has touched to say, you know, I'm going to actually be a tangible part of this process as a career missionary. And so it's really been neat to have everybody that's here involved in that way. I want to say a special welcome to Karen Taylor. Say hi there. Karen and her husband Scott have been serving in the Philippines for many years, and Karen just got back last week and a half ago or so, and they'll be home for a while. Scott and their son Billy will be getting here in January, actually, as Billy's finishing up some schooling there, so it's good to have you guys back. But we have another group of missionaries here, so we're just missionaried out here this morning, and we're going to introduce everybody here in a minute. So wherever you are, missionaries, I can't pick you out here right now. We've got John and Rebecca Keefe. Why don't you guys stand here? Here from Paraguay. And we've got Nikki Schultze. Where did you go there? You changed seats. Okay. Has served in Papua New Guinea and is now getting more training at New Tribes Bible Institute in Waukesha. And we have Luke and Michaela. Really, we just have Luke, but they are serving in Ripon at Ripon College in a college ministry of discipleship. And then we have Paul and Susan Olmsted over here, part of our own church family, and they are in the process of developing a team of partners to go full-time with New Tribes Mission. I'll tell you a little bit more about that ministry because it's connected to our speaker's ministry. And then we have Rob and Ariel Jenk right behind them, and they are planning on getting into the process of working with team mission organization in the Philippines eventually. And then we have the Fergusons over here. Why don't you guys stand up? And they are currently accepted with team and are raising partners for going to Southeast Asia. So that's our official missionary team for this conference. And please do stop in and visit with them after this service. Just one note before you guys sit down. These are the people you want to give these things to. You'll see these in your bulletin, and they indicate different ways that you can be an actual partner. And that's going to be our focus of Adam's, what he's sharing this morning too, is how can you make sure that you are personally a part of God's missionary task? And this indicates a number of ways you can do that: communication, prayer, giving, and recommended contacts. So drop these off in little brown bags they have. Is it brown? Brown bags that are at each of the tables around the foyer, and that can be a way of you to get connected with each of these folks. You guys can be seated. Your missionaries get to stand up all the time, up and down, up and down. All right. And this also want to say thank you to our missions committee. What a great team of people. If some of you have been a part of it through last night and the special presentations, the booths that were in different places of the building and the things they had for kids. And it's really been exciting, everything that they've planned, and it's gone well. But I want to thank the Deringers, the Brisbans, the Schumachers, Olmsteds, and Pastor Jim for their work in doing this this conference in terms of the planning. So it's been really good. We're going to have Adam come now in a moment and speak. He's Adam is... grew up in Liberia as an MK missionary kid, and married a missionary kid too, right? So and now you have missionary kids. It's really wondering how that works. Yeah. It's a genetic thing maybe. But grew up in Liberia and then came to study at New Tribes Bible Institute in Waukesha, stayed on there on staff teaching for the next 12 years or so, And then 3 years ago, moved to the New Tribes Mission Missionary Training Center in Camdenton, and is working there with really a newish department where they're specializing in partnership development and being coaches for missionaries as they are raising up partners. You've often heard the term support raising and things like that, and we all understand it takes money to serve full-time someplace else. You got to get people who are going to pay for you to do that. But they really have done a good job of developing this concept that it's not just about the money, it really is about being partners and a whole team that's behind them. And so that process is challenging for many missionaries. They might be called and have a specific place where they know that God's got them, but they're going to need help along the way. And so Adam has been working with that, with New Tribes Mission, a huge organization, a huge task to try to encourage that. And then God has put his hand on Paul and Susan from our church here. And that's the area that they're going to be serving in as well. So Paul and Susan and Adam are going to be constantly in contact in these coming years in helping missionaries raise up their team. And so that's going to be kind of our focus. And why don't you come and introduce your family who isn't here and share God's word with us. So good to have you.
Thank you. All right, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Stop by my table and pick up one of our photo cards. I'll introduce my family that way. They're still in Missouri. And been married to my lovely bride for 17 years. Yeah, I got married when I was 10. I understand that. No. We have three beautiful kids. The oldest is a freshman in high school, Braden. I have a 13-year-old daughter, a 7th grader, and an 8-year-old 3rd grader girl named McKenna. So Braden, Carter, McKenna, and my wife's name is Gina. We've been with New Tribes for the last 16 years, all in the training side of things, helping train and equip people to get the gospel out. We'll be joining the Olmsteads, or the Olmsteads will be joining us, and helping coach and partner with churches that are going to partner with our missionaries. And so it's a great task, big job, lots of work to be done there. We also, as I grew up in Liberia, we have an itinerant ministry. I go back and help train national pastors. We just got that kicked off again due to civil war that had been there for a number of years. But God's doing great things in Liberia as well. So happy to be here with you, sharing this morning about kingdom building, a family business. Paul, you and I talk football sometimes. I know we differ on what teams we really like, but that's okay. When it comes down to it, a well-executed goal line play to go ahead for that, to get that go-ahead score for that touchdown, it takes the whole team knowing what the play the coach called. Everybody has to understand that play. They have to know what role they're going to play in it, and they have to execute it to get into the end zone. Well, if I could say it this way, God's given us the play. God the Father has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, down to the earth. Jesus Christ has given this message of the Great Commission to His disciples. And He's given us the Holy Spirit, who wrote it down in His written word for us to understand the play, if I could say it that way. And that's it. He's called to play. It's important that us as the church, the whole team, knows, understands, and executes their individual role if we, the church, are to be successful in kingdom building. Jesus left us some parting words. Words of instruction. Words of action that He wants us to take seriously as His disciples. And over a period of 40 days, Jesus laid out for His disciples the family business, kingdom building. on 5 different occasions, in 5 different addresses, at 5 different geographical locations, with 5 different emphases, Jesus unfolds the play for us. We call it the Great Commission. And so this morning, I want to highlight from these 5 passages some different aspects of Jesus' instructions to us, His family, as we carry on the family business of kingdom building. And I want to answer with that some important questions as we look at the blueprint. Who is to be involved in this task? As we highlight the foundation, what is to be done? As we consider the framework, why does this work need to be done? And finally, as we personalize it, as we take ownership, how is it to be done? So we're going to look at these 5 passages. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. As you're turning there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just use your word to impact our lives, our hearts, so that we leave this place changed and with a clear direction of where you want us to be involved in kingdom building, the business that you've given to us as a church. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, the first passage, John chapter 20. I want you to put on your disciple hat with me for a minute. You've just experienced some of the most traumatic events of your life. You've watched your teacher, your leader, your Savior be crucified right before your eyes. You're confused, you're scared. You've heard reports that He's alive, but you're hiding out in a room in Jerusalem behind locked doors, and suddenly Jesus appears. Remember, behind locked doors. And then He appears right before you. And He engages you in what He wants you to do next. So as we look at John chapter 20, let me read it with you, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Let me highlight 3 things quickly from this verse. First thing I notice is God sends people. God sends people. Whenever God wants something important done, He sends a person. Think of it, all the way through the Old Testament, God sent people. God sent Noah and his family into the ark. He sent Abraham from Ur to Palestine, Jacob to Haran and back, Joseph to Egypt, Moses He sent into the desert and then on to Pharaoh, the Israelites He sent out of Egypt, Daniel to Babylon, Jonah to Nineveh. He sent Jesus from heaven to earth, from the manger to the cross. He sent the disciples into the world. He sent the Holy Spirit to the church, then the church via a human being to you with the message of the gospel. God sends people. That's what He's in the business of doing. God sends people. He's a missionary God. That's at His heart. And guess what? He has no problem. He has no problem whatsoever sending you anywhere and sending you anytime. That's His heart. That's His will. His will is, that's how He accomplishes His will. He sends people. And so these disciples are hearing this message, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. It's kind of a little different than what they're used to. Because God sends people like you and me into the world. And that's what He's highlighting for these disciples. Imagine again the mindset of these men. Israel was used by God to draw other nations to Himself. In other words, the people came to them. This is radically different what Jesus is proposing to them that they need to do. You mean we're supposed to leave and go now? For all of their history, everybody had come to them to learn about God. Now he's challenging them in this first installment of the Great Commission. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. He's sending them out, turning their thought process upside down. And so that's where we're at today. Business owners, entrepreneurs, government workers, politicians, celebrities, factory workers, retail workers, students, young, old, in between. I don't know if I covered everybody. But God sends you into the world. God sends you. You may be sitting there this morning saying, well, I'm not really qualified. Isn't that the job of the pastors and those missionaries that stood up? No, God sends you. God sends you. Whenever He wants anything important communicated, He'll send an individual. He sends people. And He has no problem sending you into the world just like He sent the disciples. Well, I'm not qualified. Well, what's the qualification? Those who have inner peace with God because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them. That's what qualifies you to go into the world. That Christ Jesus has changed your life, has given you that inner peace. That's what qualifies you to serve and to witness for Christ. So we see God sends people like you and I into the world, number three, with authority. As the Father has sent me, Christ speaking, He was sent here on this earth with authority. And there's two words I want to call to your attention, and it's the force of these two Greek words, sent and sending, that carry significant meaning. You see, Jesus wants us to know that He sends people like us, propelled into the world with the same authority that God sent Jesus Christ here. In other words, the right to go into the world does not hinge on us. That right comes from God Himself. That authority comes from God the Father. And our authority starts with Him. It ends with Him. He's the one that's commissioned us. And that authority is transmitted through His Son, Jesus Christ, and then passed on to us, His disciples, through the Holy Spirit. So God chooses to send us, His people, into the world with authority. So as we live, we then have a responsibility in this world to get on board with what God is doing in the world. Contemplate that as you watch this.
You and I might spend about 70 to 80 years on this earth. Not long when we consider the timeline of eternity. Have you ever wondered what life is all about? Every day we get bombarded with the message to pursue the things of this world. Make money, get stuff, be comfortable, live well. More for more, me. And that's the prevailing message of our day. Our generation has a hijacked version of the American dream. But as Christians, we know deep down
God chooses to use you and I. That's His method. That's who's to be involved. Turn over to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. I want to look at the next part of Jesus Christ unfolding what needs to be done. We've looked at the blueprint. Now, what is to be done? Again, try to think like a disciple here. Christ has appeared to you and then He left just as quick as He came. Imagine the following days, what they're like. Really, what's going on? He's given us some instruction, but where are we supposed to go? He said He's sending us out, but where? What are we supposed to do? Are we even going to see Him again? It's about 8 days later. 8 very long days later, and you're in a rented room again in Jerusalem. Probably the same one. And Jesus appears again. Just like He did the first time. And again, you're probably unnerved. Maybe you're wondering, why didn't you just knock on the door and come in? Why did you have to just appear? But in Mark 16, verse 15, we read the next instructions. He says to them, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I want to highlight two foundation blocks of what is to be done. Number one, preach. We're called to preach. The priority is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. This good news, it's a message that must be vocalized. We have to share it. We have to speak it. We have to proclaim it. It must be vocalized. The world is not going to be reached with the gospel by the silent presence of believers. We must speak up along with our testimony. The message must be preached. When your life does not match your message, you do incredible harm to the gospel. We're called to preach, to proclaim, to vocalize this message. We're told to do it into all the world. Into all the world. All means all. That's all that all means. And when you think about into all the world, this is highlighting the extent. It's highlighting the inclusiveness of what we're supposed to do. Every part of the globe is to hear the good news. Every part of it. We're reminded of a promise in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Every part of the globe. No continent is to be excluded. No geographical region ignored. No distance is considered too far, and no people group too remote. We're supposed to take this message, preach this message, proclaim this message, vocalize this message into all the world. We're supposed to do that to all creation. To all creation. To the whole creation. Greek word means each or every one. I love this because there is no one, no individual that's insignificant. Everybody matters to God. And Jesus Christ wants the good news proclaimed personally to people. One-on-one. See, the bottom line is this. Whatever mission program you engage in should be measured against the priority to evangelize, to vocalize, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the lifeblood. This is the foundation of kingdom building. The command includes all people groups. It's where we get the word ethnic group, ethne. The task is not complete until there's a representative from every ethnic group. So we're called to preach into all the world, to all the creation. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Look at this second building block, this second foundation block. First of all, we're called to preach. Secondly, we're called to disciple. And in Matthew 28, this context takes place about 1 to 2 weeks later. The disciples take about a 3 days walk to receive more instruction from Jesus Christ. And let's pick it up in verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Discipleship. The specific outcome of proclaiming the good news is making disciples. We just read it there in Matthew 28. Simply put, discipleship is Christ's life reproduced through you into the life of somebody else. Christ's life reproduced through you into the life of somebody else. And building personal relationships for the purpose of producing growing, competent followers of Jesus Christ is the heartbeat of discipleship. In every experience of life, all believers should be sensitive to those around them in need of the gospel. We need disciples who are going to follow Christ in baptism. We need disciples who understand that growth is an ongoing process, and that process happens in the presence of other believers. We also need disciples who are going to allow the Holy Spirit to transform them in such a way that they can help transform other people. Discipleship. That's what we're to do. We're supposed to preach the good news, proclaim it, vocalize it. We're also called to make disciples. All of this is backed by the authority and presence of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you caught it when I read it. But the origin of what we're called to do is in God who sovereignly reigns over all creation. That's the power. That's the power He has. It's His right. And this right is undisputable. You know, I hear a lot of talk about, man, there's a lot of hard places to get in the earth. Governments have shut us out. Christians can't go in there and proclaim the gospel. Word of God I read doesn't limit us to those easy places. The right that Jesus Christ gives us is to go anywhere, in any country, to any culture, to any community, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's a God-given right based on His authority, not ours. And that authority is unstoppable. He promised Peter that the gates of hell will not overcome it. As you think of this command, the command does not leave us on our own. It's enveloped by the ever-present presence of Jesus Christ. He comforts us as we go because He goes with us. It's been said that without us, He will not. And without Him, we cannot. We need Jesus Christ's presence. And so as we think about this command to preach and to disciple, remember that God sends you and I into the world with authority to proclaim the good news and make disciples from all people groups. Jump over to Luke chapter 24 with me. Luke 24. Remember, we're talking about over a period of 40 days, Jesus unfolding what exactly He wanted them to do in the family business, starting with the blueprint. He's laid the foundation of preaching and discipling. Now He's going to give us some more specifics. Why does this need to be done? Why is preaching and discipleship necessary? In the context of Luke chapter 24, is you're now back in Jerusalem. Even though you don't realize it as His disciple, this is the day that Jesus ascends into heaven. He's given you some more instruction. Why is this message needed? How is it going to be accomplished? Follow along with me in verse 44. Then He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Verse 45. Then He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. And He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So I have to ask myself this question. Why does the gospel message need to be preached into all the world? Is the need for the message because people are isolated from it? Is it because of the remoteness of some of these locations? I have to say no to both of those. The gospel is needed because we have a root problem. And that root problem is sin. That's why the gospel is needed. That's why it's needed to be preached. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that sin separates all mankind from a holy God. It's not isolation, it's not remoteness. The root problem is sin. That's why the gospel needs to be preached and disciples need to be made. In Luke 24, I want to highlight three quick things. Verse 46. I see that there's hope. There's hope for all because of Jesus Christ. Hope is found in that message. Hope is found in this, that the Christ will suffer, that He'll rise from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel. That He's going to suffer, die on the cross, rise again. The gospel gives hope. There's hope for all. We can't save ourselves, but thank God Jesus Christ can. Verse 47, we see that there's forgiveness for all who repent. There's forgiveness for all who repent. It says, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name. That's a promise. That Jesus Christ promises forgiveness if you repent. Also in verse 47, I have to ask this question. Is there opportunity for all? Is there opportunity for all? Think about that as you watch. You're going to have to help me with that one. Let me ask you, did you pick your place of birth? Was it your choice to be born in America, where we have so much access to the gospel? So how are we as a church doing in making sure that there's opportunity for all? Staggering statistics. But how are we doing? What kind of progress are we making? What can we each do? That's where I want to highlight. It's time to take ownership. How's this task going to get done? As Jesus unfolds for His disciples in Luke 24, I want to highlight verse 48 and 49. You are witnesses of these things. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Flip over to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 gives us another glimpse. His last words as He's just about to ascend into heaven. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit is mentioned three times in these five Great Commission passages. It's obvious that this task is huge. It's bigger than us. It's so overwhelming, in fact, that it's only going to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's our responsibility to choose to rely upon the Holy Spirit that indwells us instead of our own strength. You see, Christian missions it's not a human undertaking, but a supernatural and divine enterprise for which God has provided supernatural power and leadership. You see, human achievement does not produce spiritual results. We must rely on the Holy Spirit, that spiritual power, if we want to accomplish any spiritual results. So it's time, in essence, to grab the keys, to take ownership. Jesus' instructions are clear to His disciples as He unveiled them to them over five different locations, over 40 days. He told them to simultaneously spread the gospel to their own people in their own regions who speak their own language and culture. That's here in Port Washington and the surrounding area. That's how it fits you. But He's also called us to simultaneously spread the gospel to those in neighboring regions who speak different dialects, have slightly different cultures. But He's also told us to take this message to altogether different, faraway places with completely different languages and totally different cultures. That's what the early disciples did. They took His word seriously. Out of all those that heard these instructions, guess what? They all obeyed. They all were involved in this family business. Not one of them changed course. Not one of them disobeyed His last words, and not one of them abandoned the cause. In fact, most of them were martyred for their faith. Church history tells us one after the other was martyred in distant lands for obeying God's words. And now the task 2,000 years later lies on us, His church, to continue to pick up the baton. It's our turn. Human beings reaching out to other human beings. God has not planned it any other way. I hold in my hand probably one of the saddest lists I've ever seen. This is a list of 2,500 unreached people groups listed by country, region, and population that have no access to the gospel, that have no hope without someone going and sharing Christ with them. Paul, you want to come help me with this? Last time I threw it down the aisle, it got all twisted. This list represents, as we learned in ABF, to get it work, close to 3 billion people. It's obvious that myself, that Paul, that Pastor Sid, we can't do this task by ourselves. Keith, come help us. You've planted church has been involved in church planting down in Paraguay for many, many years. Nikki, where are you? We need your help. Luke. Man, 13 nations represented at Ripon College. We need your help planting churches. They're going to go back, like you said. Jinx. Let's grab right there. Ferguson. Man, northern India. Millions and millions of people represented among many, many different languages there. But you know, part of taking ownership is not just saying, okay, great, there's our missionary. Who's next? Who's next out of this church that wants to stand and join them? Here am I, send me. I want to listen. I want to obey God's calling. He's been speaking to me. Go ahead, stand up, grab the list. Maybe it's praying for these missionaries. Maybe it's supporting them financially, filling out that orange sheet. Maybe this isn't familiar to you or comfortable in this church, but if you want to be involved that way, stand up right now and grab part of this list. Go ahead, you can move now. God's calling us to take ownership. This is the family business. We're all about kingdom building. Each one of us has to fulfill a role, a part, a piece of the puzzle to get this task done. These missionaries. I don't really like that word. We're all missionaries. Everyone here is a missionary in the family business, the task of finishing the work that God started with His disciples. And really, obedience to this task leads in two directions. You either personally go, or you help those go through prayer, through financial resources, material assistance, technical support. Will you play your part? Will you fulfill your role in sending people out and being sent yourself and keeping them sent? You see, God has sent you and me into the world with authority to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to make disciples from all people groups. And our time's short. We need to band together as a body of believers to take ownership for this task to God's glory. Pastor said, can you close us in prayer?